I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, everyone out there who is currently listening to Sick Boy Podcast. Jeremy here of the Sick Boy Podcast. I'm here without Brian and Taylor. We're kind of in the middle of the holiday sort of break. We've been taking it real chill for the last couple of weeks, which has been nice. But I just wanted to chime in. It's right now, if you're listening to this, the day it was released, it's December 31st, 2018. There are only a few hours left to the year. And I just want to say, on behalf of me, Brian, and Taylor, thank you. Thank you so much for making this one of the most incredible years of our lives. Each and every one of you who tunes in every week, who listens to the show, who engages with us through social media, you have all played this massive role in really changing our lives. And 2018 was the biggest year we've had, and I'm so gosh dang excited for what's to come in 2019. We got some cool stuff in the pipeline. Can't wait to share it with you. And thank you. Thank you all so much. And I hope you had the most incredible year of your life this year too. We're going to finish the year off with our final episode of 2018. A great conversation we had with a new friend. Her name is Milen, right here in Halifax. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It was a really great conversation. I hope you love it as much as we did. And high five, y'all. High five. Absolutely love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of this weird and fun little project. See you on the other side. Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Milen. She has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Let's talk about it. Well, I will preface with this. This is just get it all out. Let's all cough. All on three. One, two, three. All right, and we're good.
And okay, we're ready.
So, super exciting because this is the first time we've recorded in our new recording space.
Yeah, we have an office now.
Yep.
And that's where we record.
Downtown Halifax.
And do work.
At the bottom of a hill.
So if the sound quality is bad, get used to it.
Yeah. No, you know what? It sounds pretty good.
It does sound pretty good. Right. I mean, we've got this little piece of soundproofing.
Guys, it was a joke.
The makeshift blind right there.
Yep. It is pretty fucking makeshift in here now.
It's pretty makeshift.
We got to make it home.
There's like 18 milk crates.
There's milk crates everywhere.
Milk crates everywhere.
Is that probably one of the first things you thought?
As soon as
I
walked in, and the like couple of really perfectly placed empty beer cans on the milk crates.
Yeah, that's not us. That's Dave Culligan. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with him. Like, Dave Culligan has the worst decorating taste. He was like, oh, yeah, I've got a bunch of empty cans at my apartment. I'm just going to throw them in the office here. This looks good. I like this.
Instead of the recycling bin.
This will definitely look great when clients come over to meet me.
Milen?
Yeah, good job.
Wait, what?
Yeah, her name is Milen.
It's very French. Wait, just how do you say it?
Oh, I think I just
he
heard
said
you
my
say
Milen
it.
Before you no, came over. He was like, my Milen?
Like me?
Yeah.
Len.
Like Guy Len, but with
an M.
With an M.
Like me, it's Milen.
Me. No. Me.
So are you Milen?
Yeah, like, do you prefer?
Are you Milen?
Do you prefer
Milen?
Okay. Milen, there's an N at the end.
Yeah, no, but you said it's super French.
I am super French.
Right, but when you say Guilaine in French, you say Guilaine.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Do you say Guilaine?
No, you actually don't. It's
really?
Guilaine.
Oh,
it's
the fuck?
A-I-N-E.
My
there's
whole
an E
world
at the end, so you pronounce
down.
The N. No, man, you're wrong.
I think what you're going for, Taylor, is like the when someone says Afghanistan as opposed to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just my name.
Like, which you would do. Taylor does all the time. Taylor talks about it, Pakistan. He says Pakistan.
I'm worldly.
He's worldly. Yeah. So when he meets someone like Mylan over here, he'll say Mile.
That's not it.
Mile.
It's just one name.
Lazy.
Okay.
I think you're trying to make it fancier than it is.
Tell me about yourself, Mile.
I thought when you said your name, I thought you were like Mile, and I was like, oh, me Brian. No.
Holy fuck.
No.
So,
Milan. Yeah.
You know what's really, really great is that we met the other night and you were like, I have Ehlers-Danlos. And I was like, fuck yeah, I know what that is.
I know what that is too.
And then I started thinking about it because we've recorded Ehlers-Danlos on the show maybe about two years ago now.
Yeah, a while ago.
Maybe more.
Yeah. And because someone else was like, oh, what is that? And I was like, oh, well. I forget.
Yeah.
I don't remember what Ehlers. I know it's autoimmune.
No.
Okay.
Jeremy knows nothing.
Wrong.
Well, you're extremely susceptible to is it ligament tears and your joints?
You're like hella flexible. I know that.
Yeah. Well, it just depends on the type that you have.
Well, let's dive into it. Why don't you give me your best like elevator pitch to someone who goes, I have no fucking clue what Ehlers-Danlos is. What is it to you?
So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
So, okay. I'm going to pause you right there. Is it Milan or Milan?
Stop.
Is it Ehlers or
no, dude, it's Ehlers. A Canadian affectation because Joanne, sorry, was it Joanne or Joanna? I'm having a fucking
Joanna.
Joanna.
When we recorded with her, she's from New Jersey, and she said Ehlers, and then the Canadian, of course, goes Ehlers Downloads.
The UK says Ehlers as well, but Australia says Ehlers. Mm. So,
well, this is very confusing.
They're two names
because someone's
saying it wrong.
The Brits say aluminium, and that's insane. So.
And it's also not right.
Yeah, that's
not right.
So
I thought it was right.
No,
I'm gonna go with Ehlers then.
Wait, say it again.
I say Ehlers, but you said Ehlers.
Ehlers.
So I'm going to just say
you can call it EDS. Ehlers. I usually call it EDS.
Why don't we all call it something different?
It's easier.
Yeah,
so
let's
we
do
satisfy
that.
Everybody.
Like, I call it EDS-3 because my type is the third type.
Okay.
Sounds like a video game.
All right, so EDS. What is EDS to you?
Okay, so Ehlers is a...
I'm sorry, are we going with Ehlers or EDS?
Oh, shit. Okay, no, just call it Ehlers. Just call it Ehlers. Okay. Just call it Ehlers. Okay, I got it decided.
We'll commit to it.
Okay, right. It's Ehlers now.
Ehlers it is.
Okay, it is a connective tissue disorder, and it's at, well, sort of. Some of the types are genetic mutations, but that's usually quite rare, but it's just in our DNA, and it's a faulty collagen gene.
Oh right, the collagen.
Yeah,
dude, I've been having so much collagen powder lately. It's a really good protein.
Actually, for real, you've been taking collagen powder?
Yeah.
And put it in your smoothies or something?
Yeah. Yep. In my coffee. It's really good. With Greek yogurt.
Collagen's hot right now.
Yeah, it's so good right now.
Do you do that? Do you take?
I should be. But collagen takes in a normal healthy person, it would be like 5 to 6 months for you to even start to see a difference, like skin, hair, nails, that kind of thing. Joint problems for me, it just tastes too gross for me to commit to it for that long.
Do you want a collagen powder hack?
Yeah.
Ooh,
this is not a flavor hack. This is a spending less money on it hack.
From where?
Bulk Barn.
Does it taste like plastic?
Yeah, it tastes like collagen powder.
It tastes like the bin that it comes in at Bulk Barn.
At Bulk Barn. I can't commit to it. It's too gross.
It's an extreme, it's very expensive. Mm. And
so when you put this shit in a drink, it just tastes like garbage?
I mean, you can put it in stuff and I figure that you wouldn't, but I don't eat very much or drink very much, so it would be difficult for me to get it enough in my body for me to see a difference.
I don't find that it tastes that bad. I put like 8 grams in my coffee in the morning, and I drink quite a bit of coffee, so it's not that bad. But
offended by
it. I don't like it.
The price hack is it's not something that I would ever do.
He says with a wink.
I didn't wink. But
you fucking steal it.
I just walk in and take it.
Something I would never do.
No, but I've heard that people will sometimes like change the price of like the collagen powder number with like rice flour or something.
Oh,
like that.
That's
people
stealing
do that. People do that at like Winners.
That is stealing.
Or like
I used to do that.
Yeah.
I used to do that with
That is exactly what stealing is.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore, but
that's
I used to do it.
I don't do it.
I used to do it with if I got cashews, I'd put on that they were like peanuts. You know, I'd put like the peanut number on it.
Okay. You don't anymore.
Unprepared.
I don't anymore, but I did.
Cheaters.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us more about your EDS and how it basically presents itself in your body.
Yeah. So for me, well, collagen for one is one of our most important types of proteins that we have in our body. I kind of describe it as like our glue that sticks everything together. So for me with type 3, it's called hypermobility. So I'm flexible everywhere. Mm. So it's not just like a normal amount of like stretching flexibility, but all of my joints just go farther than they are supposed to.
Is that like, does that make you susceptible to injury?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can easily tear ligaments or?
So technically I've been really lucky because I've never had any real damaging injuries. But as I've gotten older, my flexibility has started to affect me more like acutely. So like for example, today at the moment while I'm talking, two nights ago, I just started getting like really bad pains in my abdomen. And I know now that they're like my two little floating ribs. So they're like two ribs on either side that don't like connect to your back.
Mm-hmm.
They subluxate. So they like come in and out of the joint, like the little socket.
Mm-hmm.
Rubs up against my diaphragm, so then I get a lot of pain in my stomach.
That sounds painful.
That sounds awful.
It's not even that it's painful, it's just a lot of discomfort. So for me, I got really lucky in a way because I don't have any like real full dislocations very often, except for my hip. They kind of just go in and out and they just kind of like fit themselves back in.
Except for your hip. That sounds like kind of
like
intense.
The worst one. Yeah, but it's it's flexible enough now, or like the muscle and like the ligaments around the joint are so overstretched now that I'm able to like pop it back into place, no problem.
So we have like a our reference point for this is somebody from 2 years ago that we recorded with this and if I'm remembering correctly, the way that she knew that it was that she was dealing with something that was negatively affecting her was that she got hurt.
Yeah.
Or I think that kind of led down to the diagnosis. How did you figure out that you had it? Did you get hurt, or you said you didn't really have, you've never had any like significant injuries from it?
So I was a dancer. I started ballet when I was 3. But I was 7 when I first started talking about a lot of pain to my mom.
Mm.
But looking back now, because it's a genetic condition, because I was born with it, which I think like it all started like when I was in my mom's belly.
Mm-hmm.
We look back now and like from the moment I was born, there was something off. I was a really, really quiet baby, and we kind of assume now that's because my jaw was always really sore. I have another permanent dislocation on my left side of my jaw.
Permanent dislocation.
Like I can't fully get it back in unless I have surgery. But
does your jaw click a lot when you eat and chew?
It doesn't even click. I just can't open it all the way. So I can't get it. I can't open it to the point where it'll click.
Right.
Because then I would like not be able to get it back in at all. So I just kind of like leave it.
What's the biggest you can open your mouth?
Like right there.
Oh my God, really?
Oh my God, she's like Cameron Marcus. Yeah, maybe Cameron Marcus has hours demos.
I can like push it.
Oh God. Oh my God. Oh, no one can see this. But
yeah,
so
to
when
open
you
it
when
more.
You first open your mouth as far as you could, you literally you look like you're just about to say the word like
it's like an inch.
Yeah,
like really lightly.
You know what I'm saying? But then when you like rammed your fist
like,
into the side of your head,
I can feel
and then
where the joint
it
is.
It looks like you were going.
Yeah.
It's
like
trying to use sound. It's like make people at home go, oh yeah, I get it.
You know,
or like when like people like they do that weird thing where they like move their jaw from side to side. like that. Like that's what I have to do pretty much is I have to shove it all the way over.
That hurt my jaw when I did
to
that.
To open it up. Oh. Yeah.
My jaw clicks when I eat.
Yeah, which is like cluck, normal.
Cluck, cluck. Is that normal?
Yeah.
That's pretty normal.
It's like normal wear and tear.
Mine doesn't, but I mean, whatever.
Mine does like every bite. It's like clunk, clunk, clunk.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't.
Does that annoy you?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it would because
one day.
Oh,
that's not annoying.
Like,
that's
fucking worse.
That's revolting.
It's gross.
Yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of people that just listen to you do that, Taylor. And I hope Donovan fucking jacked it up so that those people hate you more than they already hate you.
Whoa, hey, why would they already hate me? They listen to the show. They're fans.
You're hated.
Jared just took some money out of your emotional piggy bank, so I just want to tell you that your haircut looks good.
Aww.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
Hey, you know who did that haircut?
Yeah, you? I don't care who did it. I'm telling him that
guess
it looks
who,
good.
Guess who
that's
wear,
okay.
Guess who
it,
wears
that's okay.
it.
You gave me some of the fucking emotional piggy bank coins right there because I cut it. So thank you very much, Brian.
I got a lot of money to give out emotionally.
Sorry. So you were We got slightly off track because of the jaw. You were a dancer, and you said when you were seven that you started to complain about it being like pretty painful.
So it started in my feet, and we just assumed that it was growing pains. Some stupid doctor told me that my plate in my heel, my feet were growing too fast, and like just nothing could catch up to it. So I was just getting a lot of cramping. And it kind of moved up from there. When I was, I think it was like 12, 13, mom brought me to more of a specialist, but I'm from Moncton, so we don't have a whole lot of resources there. And I was only 14 when I started going to the IWK. So I was only diagnosed with this on my before last appointment at the IWK when I was 19. So
it took
a long
time.
It took me 5 years for me to get into the genetics team.
Oh wow.
So it took a while. And
are growing pains real?
No.
Is that an actual thing?
Oh, they're real.
I think they are. I don't know either,
but when
to back
just,
it up,
when you just
then
were
I
like,
say,
oh, it was growing pains. Yeah. I was going, is that like,
they
is
are
that the equivalent
real.
Of the don't go outside with wet hair because you'll get a cold?
No, they are real, but they stop at some point.
Okay.
And
I feel like it'd be so fucking hard to diagnose a kid with something because there's so many moving
parts.
Well,
that's what happened.
Especially if you got growing pains all over.
My family doctor at the time refused to send me to the IWK. He was just one of those. So my mom brought me to...
Just one of those.
Yeah, my mom brought me to a neurologist. We didn't have an appointment, I don't even think. And she just sat and said, we're going to wait. And when I got into the appointment, he looked at me and said, well, she's a kid. Why is she here? Why is she not at the hospital? Like, why is she not in Halifax? Which is exactly what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took me a while for that referral to go through as well.
To get to the IWK. Yeah. And this is when you're 14.
I got in when I was 14.
You got in when you were 14.
Yeah, this is interesting. I didn't realize this, but according to WebMD.
Growing pains?
It seems that growing pains actually only occur in the legs.
Yeah.
I had growing pains.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
It would be
legs.
Like in the back of your knee and your calf.
Right. Typically. Okay. Interesting. Growing pains usually start in early childhood around age 3 or 4, but they tend to strike again at age 8 to 12.
Yeah. I felt it in my knees a little bit. I have Osgood Schlatter disease.
I think it was also a success.
Is that real?
What is that?
I think that's what it's called.
Did you say you had or you have?
I think have.
That's the
Brian,
thing.
We've been doing this podcast that's called Sick Boy. For 3 years. And
you've never been a subject?
The whole thing was that I was sick and that you guys were healthy.
Well, I told you that you kind of
had like anxiety a little bit for a bit, but then you figured it out.
I had a heart condition when I was a baby.
What the fuck, guys?
I told you that 1,000 times.
Never on the show.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't hear it on the show.
Dude, I've brought it up like... Dude, now, please, listeners, how many times has Taylor brought this fucking thing up on the show? Like 1,000 times.
Brian, tell me about, what was it called? Schwarzenegger's Schlager's disease?
Osgood Schlatter's.
It's where you got the bump on your knee,
right?
Yeah,
the bump on your knee right here.
And it's really painful?
Well,
yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
Like I remember because you're always like, oh, my Osgoods hurt. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
My Osgoods hurt.
Yeah.
I started calling my balls my Osgoods.
It looks like an extra kneecap just under your knee.
It does look like
and,
that.
And like ew. It was when I was like 16. It's really common.
I know, right?
In,
it's gross.
I think common in guys, but possibly gender might not matter. But it can be really painful when you're like 16, 17 years old and you have growing pains.
Were you a left paddler?
Yeah, but I have in both knees.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both shoes.
But that's why it was aggravated in my left knee more, and then that's how I got diagnosed.
Cool story.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about this.
So it took a chunk of time for you to get into this. You say the genetics team?
Yeah, so I was a patient at the IWK pain clinic. Right. So I had, now I'm at the QET and I have a similar group of people.
Yeah.
But at the time there was an anesthesiologist, physio, a nurse, psychology, and occupational, I think.
Sure. Sounds similar to the CF clinic kind
of setup. Like just you like have a support system.
A team of doctors. They all have their own specialty and they all kind of like check in on you to make sure.
And I was an outpatient. And so throughout high school, I was here usually like once a week. But then as I became an adult at 19, they transferred me over to the QE2, which is what I have now. The diagnosis obviously helps a lot because it answers a lot of questions, but having Ehlers as a diagnosis is actually not that simple because Ehlers is just the collagen deficiency. It's everything else that comes with it.
Right.
So my treatment wouldn't really have been any different, which is a little bit reassuring, I guess.
Can that look really different from person to person?
Yeah.
Right.
Very different. the different types as well are very different.
Right.
I'm just about the most normal looking person I think ever. Cause I don't like, I just don't show it. I just look really small. Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is that you and our past guests with Ehlers have a very similar sort of like, composition. Is that like,
body type?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're both very slender, very like sharp features.
Which is a characteristic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, it is.
I was wondering that because I was kind of waiting for a place to slip in with that because it was like very, very similar in terms of like your features and your body type, but not like not different compared to like anybody, but similar when you think about the two put side by
side. Why is that? Why is that?
But then there's also the complete opposite because my naturopath has a couple of Ehlers patients and they're all like very different, like a lot taller, have a lot more weight than I do. So it just depends on the type. It depends on the symptoms.
Crazy.
But there are a lot of similarities just because of the makeup of our composition. Like if our connective tissue, which would be your muscles and your ligaments and tendons and all that stuff are overstretched, then everything is very close to the bone, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you get those really sharp features.
Mm. Was there a time where you stopped dance because maybe not the diagnosis because you were 19.
Yeah.
But like, did you stop because of the pain or did you stop because the team was like, we don't know what's going on, but maybe you shouldn't dance.
So I stopped. my parents started to realize how sick I was when I said, Mom, I think I have to stop dancing. So I danced until I was in grade 10, which was it was like in the first year of being at the IWK. And my doctors didn't want to say, Milan, stop dancing, but they certainly didn't support it. But they also didn't support no movement either. Mm. So that was like a really fine line. But I just couldn't do it anymore.
That's kind of confusing.
And like, it's also, I mean, you're moving into some pretty competitive territory in dance at that age, right? Which is
dance is amazing and awesome and beautiful, but also what a fucking toxic
and like
I was in
point shoes. So
yeah.
But I have a lot of answers because I was always a jumper. Like ballerinas are usually like jumpers or spinners, and I couldn't do a pirouette to save my life because I had no balance because I'm not able to activate any of the muscles that I'm supposed to be activating because I just sit in my joints.
Mm. So that's
like you're very flimsy, sort of.
Yeah, like yeah. I have no muscle.
Like stability is a big issue for you.
Yeah.
You should try CrossFit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Weight on those joints.
My wrist break.
It only took him 22 minutes.
Up the weight. Yeah.
First he came in here with the salami and the broccoli that smelled like farts, and then...
Jesus. A question actually to sort of piggyback on what Brian said, but like, are you encouraged to work on strengthening your muscles?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I'm never going to be able to cure it. That's just like in my DNA. although there's still no genetic test for my type. So they're assuming that it's in my DNA, but it might actually not
Wait,
be.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah, what? So Ehlers hypermobility, which is what I have, is the only type that doesn't have a genetic test for it yet.
So
the type of EDS that you have.
That I have. Yeah. So there's like a vascular type, which would be like vascular system.
And they can do, take a blood test or whatever, and they look at it and they go, ah, right there, that's see that little abnormality? Yeah. That's that.
But mine type. Doesn't yet.
So you literally have the like the dark matter of
yeah, I do.
Of EDS.
Yeah.
Where they go,
I'm like the odd one.
It exists, mm-hmm. but we don't know.
And it's in this family.
Seen it, and we can't.
Yeah. But hypermobility is the most common type of it. And it's the only one that doesn't have a genetic test for it.
That
so there's like, it's like
bonkers.
It's like a scale, and you have to meet all of the points. So it's not like a spectrum.
Okay.
I can't remember. I think there's like 11 points. And they're like pretty sure between like 8 and 11, but for a full diagnosis, you got to hit all of them.
Do you hit all 11?
Yeah, like without fail, like flying colors.
Okay.
Was great.
Do you remember what those are?
They were like flexibility points. There was some like basic like sensory tests, like when they like run like a sharp thing over like the bottom of your feet and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Whoa, why would like hypersensitivity like that be something?
So with this type of flexibility, 99% of us experience severe widespread chronic pain, which is what my main symptom is, mm-hmm. which is why I started going, obviously. But when you're in pain, your adrenaline levels obviously like shoot right up. So I am in a constant state of fighting, not like running away. Mm-hmm. So my adrenaline levels are so high, and that can really screw up with your like sensory system.
Oh, and probably like most things too.
Yeah. And everything else.
Like adrenaline, a constant adrenaline rush. I haven't experienced that much adrenaline lately, but Brian and I had this crazy experience where, like, long story short, we found a guy dead in a bathroom in Calgary airport and brought him back to life.
Wait, so he wasn't dead?
Well, we thought he was dead.
Well,
turns out,
I mean, he clinically he could have been dead.
Yeah, I don't know. We did CPR on him. He came back to life. But I know that I'm just totally leaving
the
hang of some details.
Amount
but
that amount is like what I have all the time.
Yeah. And
it's tiring.
We came down from it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was fucked
I
up.
I bet.
Like it was, and that's the first time I felt adrenaline in so long. And like, just when you said that, I was like, holy shit.
So
remember coming down from that and being like, I was shaking and like, I couldn't focus and everything was, was confusing.
Do you feel like chronic fatigue because of that?
Yeah. So, like I was saying, that's the most difficult thing is Ehlers is my diagnosis, but it doesn't tell you what your symptoms are going to be. The symptoms are completely based on like your experience and your person. So I am not a sleeper. Before I was on, I'm taking like a
that's
medication.
A funny thing to say.
I don't. So. I literally didn't sleep. Like when I was a baby, I didn't sleep. In high school, like I just wouldn't go to bed.
What are you like now?
What do you mean? What do you mean you wouldn't go to bed?
I just can't sleep.
So what would
because
you do?
Dude, that's what Kyla's like.
Well, then they give you the whole, like, do a routine and brush your teeth at the same time and all that stuff. But, like, no teenager wants to do that. So I would just, well, even now, if I don't sleep, I just, like, go on the couch.
How old are you?
26.
Okay. So were you, like, just, you're just staying up just,
like
on
my
MSN
average,
and, like,
yeah, MSN. All, like, that's just what I did. And, like, I try to read, but I just don't sleep.
Now
you should listen
not
to
really.
That.
You still don't sleep.
I mean, I'm on a medication now, but it's really tricky because if I take it too late, I'm groggy in the morning.
Have you fucked with the like, especially since it's now legalized across the country? Have you messed
well,
with like
the,
THC?
I'm taking a synthetic THC at nighttime.
A
to
synthetic
sleep.
THC? Whoa, that's some scary shit, man. I've heard some like. I mean, I'm sure you get it from a very reputable source.
Yeah,
but,
I do.
Where are you getting your synthetic THC?
My doctor at the QE2 works really closely with Peter Ford at Ford's Apothecary in Moncton through pharmacy because it's all compounded. So he kind of compounds it with what her suggestions are, I guess.
Whoa.
I'm on methadone for pain management.
Whoa.
I'm like the 2% of people that take methadone for what its actual purpose.
Holy manoli.
Yeah. So
is that because it's so you're in such bad pain all the
so
time?
So when I was little, so when your adrenaline levels are that high up all the time, your body's like telling you that there's something wrong and is like doing everything in its power to tell you that something is wrong and you need to deal with it. So I had a lot of flu-like symptoms. So for the longest time, my parents just thought I was like just sick all the time.
Yeah.
I always had fevers. I was throwing up all the time. Oh, I'd throw up so my ribs would dislocate. So then I would get more sick. I'd get dehydrated. Oh, it was just a big old shebang. But now that I'm on methadone, which at the IWK, I started on like painkillers that just didn't really do anything because it was children. So there's limits on what you can give kids. But the methadone takes away like that sick feeling. So then I'm just left with like very specific problems. So I'm very functional.
Right.
Well, for the most part. But so it helps. But then I have to deal with like sweating nonstop.
Is and, that like, what methadone does?
Yeah.
With being on methadone for like a prolonged period of time.
So I've been
dangerous?
On for 4 years. It's not dangerous as long as I have a my pharmacist compounds it with something else that like kind of tricks your brain into the like mental addiction parts of it. But I still have like a physical habit, obviously. So
whoa.
After a while, there is like other things like I've learned that methadone kind of depletes your testosterone levels and protein sticks to testosterone. So I'm having a lot of trouble gaining weight and I'm like actively losing. And I don't have an appetite to begin with. So obviously that will help.
Have you tried anything like Ensure or anything like that? Like that's an issue that I deal with as
yeah,
well. And they're like, drink Ensure. And when yeah. I do, I'm like, oh, there goes my weight.
Yeah. Not really. I have, so Ehlers comes with something called gastroparesis, which is just your stomach's like inability to process foods very well.
Holy shit. There's so many things going on
yeah,
now.
I know
it started so simple.
Yeah, I know. Before we like snowball into yeah. all the other things, I just something that kind of came up that I find so fascinating is that EDS, I mean, and especially the way that you are describing how it affects you, It's basically the inverse of Fiona, with Addison's, because
yeah.
Addison's disease.
Yes,
she doesn't produce adrenaline.
Right,
so she's walking through the world just like
yeah.
you know, a fucking lion could pop out of the around the corner and try to eat her, and she'd be like, oh, I'm okay. guessing this is bad,
but I actually
but my
don't
body
know.
Does not yeah exactly, but I can't quite. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that brings on a whole host full of fucking issues for her.
Yeah.
But then you, on the other hand, you're like, your adrenaline is
way up there
through the roof yeah. all the time. And that comes with this other incredibly, mm-hmm. you know, complex
yeah.
host full of
issues. How do you feel about
issues?
Halloween?
I hate Halloween, but also this is just
that
a sad
just broke
story.
My heart.
Normally I was either dancing or I was like too sick because I can't eat the candy or like any of the food because I just get sick. So I never wanted to go.
But can you fuck with like scary stuff, scary movies and stuff like that?
No, I can't.
Does that, would
She's
that
got
make
too
her,
much adrenaline?
I know,
dude.
But I know. But
I,
that,
I live a scary movie I feel, every day. Yeah.
I feel like if your adrenaline is that high, watching a scary movie is like child's play.
No, I mean, I don't feel it.
You don't feel it at
no.
all.
Right. Like I don't like feel
even,
excited
no
or like feel like
right.
like mentally that doesn't affect
I mean,
it doesn't like it doesn't affect me that way.
You don't look like you're walking around like you don't look like right now you're firing at like 100 on
no,
the adrenaline level.
I'm not.
Like, when you said the thing about having all the adrenaline all the
yeah.
time, I was like, well, you're not
it's
as
like,
intense of a person as
no,
I think you
it's
would
like,
be.
No, in, yeah, in my body.
yeah.
yeah.
Right.
Like trying That's to fight
so
it off.
It's the thing I think is interesting is when you first started talking about your EDS, it seemed like you were like, yeah, it's not that bad comparatively, like kind of downplaying it a little bit. But now that you talk
but
about
I
your experience.
But I think I've been able to learn to take my symptoms and like compare them to what other people experience. Mm. And I'm like, mine's a walk in the park compared to other people.
Right.
Okay. From
my perspective, from an outside perspective.
That can be helpful or not,
yeah.
depending on which
sure.
way you approach
it. And it sounds like for you, that's a pretty helpful way to look at it
yeah.
and a healthy way to look yeah. at it. But like, has it been emotionally challenging, like especially learning about this
yeah.
in the last 7 years and understanding what you're living with?
I think that I never realized how lonely like having a chronic illness is because of how much I have to plan for my life, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like just for example, today I had to be here at 7. I woke up at 8 and I was like, well, I can't do anything because I can't risk getting a migraine or like getting sick or like worsening my stomach. So I literally just like laid flat on my bed for like 12 hours and like waited to come here. Wow. So it's like tiring. It's tiring and it's lonely. And then I get bored.
Sorry we ruined your day.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
We could have scheduled you.
Did you watch, have to come?
Did you watch any movies or anything?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I. Okay.
No,
yeah,
dude. No. Like, she just laid there.
I just laid there and
looking
waited
at the ceiling. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to risk a single
at
thing.
At all.
Like, you just lay.
I don't even want to blink.
Your arms like this.
Like this. Which I do.
Really?
Yeah, people call me out on it all the time, but it's actually quite comfortable.
You're crossing your arms. Crossing across.
There's a name for that.
It's like a hug. So.
And actually, do you guys,
like when you're in a coffin?
You want to know something really fucking crazy?
Coffin hug.
You know how vampires sleep like this too?
Yeah.
So basically crossing your arms over your chest for people who can't
see. Everybody knew when you said how vampires sleep.
Yes, that way. Dead bodies sometimes naturally go in to this this shape. Wow. They just naturally go... And I think that's where it came from, why vampires do it.
See, I come from, from a yogic background, and I always thought dead bodies just were flat on their backs with their palms up towards the ceiling, totally relaxed.
I think that's a myth about a myth.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got deep there. Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So let's come back to the snowballing of shit that goes on with you. I am really fascinated about this methadone thing.
Yeah.
What else do you take? Like you take methadone and that's for the pain.
Yeah.
You take synthetic THC and that's for sleeping. But that's for sleeping. Yeah. So that's like for nerves.
Sorry, with synthetic THC, does that get you like high?
Dude.
I get groggy, but I wouldn't say I'm high. I just like feel like I took a Benadryl.
There's like an issue in the States, or there has been over the last like couple of years, with synthetic THCs fucking people up. Like bath salts.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like super, like real bad news. Super bananas. Yeah, yeah.
Like the stuff that you're not.
But I also feel like that's maybe not in a pharmacy.
It's stuff you're getting from
so essentially what
down,
it does
like
is it
up north in the woods.
Yeah. Jed. It just like triggers this like cannabinoid receptors in your body the same way that like taking it naturally would.
Yeah, you're getting the safe stuff.
And it's less expensive.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's but there's no coverage. There's no coverage for methadone unless you're an addict, which so I'm not, so I don't get covered.
What do you pay per month or year?
Well, I was taking it 3 times a day for like 4 years, and it was like $120
Methadone is only covered if you're addicted to drugs.
So, do you want a quick story?
Hold it. Before you say that, before you go to that story, that is crazy that said before that it was designed for the way that you're using
it. It started out as a drug for epilepsy. People with epilepsy tend to have a lot of chronic pain because of the muscle tension. So it wasn't helping with the seizures, but it was helping a lot with the pain. And so after that trial, it really was just for pain management. But because it's an opiate with a lot less obvious, there's less of a high, then it started to be like the drug to wean off of heroin and cocaine and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I was still living in New Brunswick, I signed up for the New Brunswick drug plan and they told me that it would be covered. So I ended up actually having to pay an extra like $17 a month for this drug plan because they wouldn't cover it. And the girl on the phone when I called to complain said, which I know she was just reading off of a script in front of a computer, but she said, drop your doctor and just go to the methadone clinic, get a vial, and you'll be fine. So she essentially wanted me to get off of my like controlled drug with my doctor and pharmacist, grab a liquid form of methadone, chug it down, rot my teeth because it would be free. But I have to pay a month.
What did you say about your teeth?
Well, if you're taking an opiate, just liquid, it's literally just going to eat at your gums and your teeth, which is a lot of the time why like they, you know, addicts struggle, obviously, with their physical yeah. health because of the drug addiction. So I was like, well, that's not exactly what I want to do.
That's not your Whoa. Scenario. Like,
no,
that
at
make
all.
Sense.
So, I hope that was more from her head and not from a script.
I hope so, but I've heard it on multiple occasions because it's a lot easier to get it, which is not to say that, like, addicts don't need help as well, but
do you think she was? I'm on it for the same. Do you think that she was thinking, "Oh, this woman's an addict"?
Could have been.
She needs Maybe. Methadone.
It just wouldn't have been the right answer for anyone calling.
Man, I'm kind of interested, and I kind of want to put this out to the listeners because I've been way more interested in this since my mom's experience now living post cancer. So she pays like $150 every 2 weeks for catheters that she needs for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And she needs them and they're not covered. And if she doesn't go on Seniors Day for a discount at Lawton's, then she pays an extra $55. So if she can't go that day every 2 weeks,
that's a sick deal.
It's an extra $55.
Seniors Day, when's that?
Wednesdays. At Lawton's. Yeah.
Nice, very nice.
It's great. You should definitely go.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jer, how do you plan on getting that discount?
Oh, but, dude, have you seen the mask that I have at my house? So, the old man mask?
No.
Well, it's an old nun. It's a nun, okay, and her eyes are all white.
That would be enough to like...
And this guy gave me a hard time for changing the fucking number on the cashews. this guy's putting on a fucking mask and going to Seniors Day at Shoppers Drug Mart.
So, an acting degree, I put it to use in the best ways I can.
The thing that, honestly, I'm really curious to know what are some of the other things that Canadian healthcare doesn't cover. Tweet at us or even send me an email at the podcast, brian@sickboypodcast.com.
Yeah, we don't care. Jeremy and I don't give a shit.
Well, so. I don't know if you guys do or not, but I can share it with you guys.
You can also text Brian at 902-555-5555.
Yeah, do that too.
You would have been
so
pissed if he actually gave his number out. We used to do that all the time when we started the show.
Okay. Definitely cannot be doing that now.
So I'd like to take it upon myself to put together a list of like some of the crazy things that
I've
are
got
not
about
covered.
Like 25.
Man, yeah. I'm sure there's no shortage of shit that would blow your mind.
I know,
like the
right?
fact that you like, okay, I'm not saying that it should be covered for you and not for addicts.
No,
but why
it
is it not
for
covered
everyone.
For you?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure that there's some like super complex fucking math that goes on in terms of how they decide what's covered and what's not. I'm sure there is, and I don't fucking get it, but still shit is crazy.
Well, coverage is one thing, but it's a lot more discriminatory when it goes by case by case basis because there's literally no chance of me ever getting it covered. There just isn't. Even if I, at first they said that it wasn't covered because I have it compounded with another drug to make me not emotionally or like cognitively addicted to it, which one is insane because why do you want that on someone?
What?
So I contacted them and I said, well, what if I split the two and I only have a capsule for my methadone and I only have a capsule for my naltrexone, which is the other
that's
drug
what
that's
they
in
mix
it.
It with. Okay.
Yeah. And they were like, well, no, because then it would be more expensive because you'd have like the drug alone. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense.
It just sounds like a bunch of fucking
instead of figuring out a plan for it, which would be complicated because it's obviously a case by case basis, like dosage and mixtures and all of that kind of stuff. They just say we're not going to cover it for anyone to make it easier.
How many times like a year or a month like are you? Like, do you get hospitalized much or?
I used to a lot.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital all the time. A lot of the time, too, though, my mom would just kind of wait it out. And when I was in the seventh grade, I think I probably only went to school like 4 or 5 months of the year because I would throw up 6 or 7 nights of the week because I was just sick all the time. Now I've like hit my record where in the last 2 years, I think I've only. Twice, yeah.
You've only thrown up twice?
So, but like, congratulations to me. I moved out a year and a half ago. My roommate and I moved here in June of 2017.
From Moncton,
which is my biggest like accomplishment to date.
That's everybody's biggest accomplishment who's left Moncton.
Yeah, who's left
just,
Moncton.
Let's just say what it is, everyone.
Yeah.
Right? If you left Moncton, you won.
Good job. Yeah, we're in it.
I'm joking.
I'm
we
not.
Love you, Moncton. We love you.
So I remember when you almost opened a yoga studio there?
In Moncton?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. That was a time.
Can you nix the idea real quick?
It definitely got nixed.
Yeah.
Quick, though. It wasn't a quick decision.
It wasn't quick, but
I moved here. I made a really stupid call, and I took a job that I should not have taken. It was
like powerlifting or something?
No. It was sitting in front of a computer. It was just at a call center, which I can't do because of, like, having something like touching my head like that and being in front of a computer.
Who can do
exactly?
Who can be at a call center?
Yeah, exactly.
No one's built for it.
So then put someone like me who has like issues with like my neck and my okay.
You got to be like LeBron James, dude, like, if I can, phenom of that to be able to
and
do
and like
that.
Perfect posture,
yeah,
and like no eye strain. Like that.
Like you do it.
Yeah, that works. But yeah, 2 weeks in, I ended up in the hospital with a migraine.
Right.
Migraines
are not to be fucked with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in May again. So that was twice in a year, which is the least that I've ever had to. And
well, that's amazing. Do you think moving out played a role in that?
Having some independence was definitely nice to have, but it was very new, so it was a big adjustment period.
What was the biggest like logistical challenge living with your illness and moving out?
I had to make sure that my apartment had an elevator, knowing that I had like a support around, which is huge. So when I'm gonna like bring my roommate into it, when I met her, instantly we had that connection where I knew I could trust her because I've never been alone before. So I needed to like be with someone or be around someone who I could trust to like take on my burden, I guess, as well, if ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was like a really big thing, is just being confident in that because I didn't have my parents anymore.
Yeah.
Cooking is really difficult just from like holding utensils and like doing that kind of stuff.
Is it just that your body gets like, it's just painful or you get exhausted?
No, it's pain.
Okay,
well, I'm always, I don't know what exhaustion is. I just always am.
You're just in a constant state of exhaustion.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, you know, they give you the diagnosis of like chronic fatigue syndrome, but I think that's just kind of an umbrella and it has a cause that's from something else.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people get that diagnosis, but a lot of the time after like, you know, they don't let you go after that. There's something else.
Yeah.
So I'm always
tired.
It seems to be like
fibromyalgia. It's kind of this like mystery.
It's like an umbrella term.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to leave you without a diagnosis, but they also know that there's like more testing to be done. So I'm tired, but like I can't really write anymore.
Mm.
I have like this little way that I have to hold things or else they just kind of fall.
How do you write?
I like will hold it like this. So I like my palms open.
Because so it's like just like painful
that.
For you.
Yeah, like I can't like pinch my hand together for very long. So then like that sucks because like I love doing my makeup and it like I have to get ready like an hour and a half before I have to be anywhere to like if I want to do my hair and my face and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So how, I mean, this is probably a good segue of like, how does it affect you socially? Like, because so we met.
That was the first time I ever went out, in like forever.
Nights in Halifax.
You thought that was good?
Well, I mean, like, I just mean that
I wanted to leave as soon as I got there.
It's a fuckload of people.
Was it doing damage?
It was doing damage.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of doing damage.
It was bad.
I'm a huge rap fan, which is why I love it.
It's not my jam.
It's like the only night that you just get rap. But it's also a small bar.
I thought it was like old, like classic rap.
Nah. Oh, no, it's like, it's mostly like.
That was bad.
New rap.
I went to Mushrooms once and went. It was.
You had a good time, man.
I'll do that next time.
It was trippy.
But it doesn't change the fact that it is a packed bar.
Yeah.
Like, really packed.
Yeah.
Super loud.
Yeah.
You're on your feet the entire time.
Yeah.
Hearing you talk about this now, I'm going, how the fuck did you survive
so,
that night?
When I decide that I'm going to do something, I decide like weeks in advance, usually.
Right, okay.
So that night, my roommate and I and a friend of ours went out, and I knew like 2 or 3 days beforehand, so I could like mentally prepare myself. I was like, for the day of, I worked, so I was like, hey, sleep in until this time, work for 4 hours, but sit in the back for at least 2.5 of them.
What do you do for work now? Sorry?
I'm a student, but I work just part-time in the mall.
Okay.
But my boss is like awesome. She's like, Milan, just sit down. Like, you know, it's just a small little store. Get home and just like lay down and just like wait for the time
just
to come.
For the time.
Yeah, and I have to like really plan accordingly. When I'm out, it's almost like I can like shut it off. I can like shut it off for the couple hours that I'm there, and then I'm on like I have like a full 2 days of recovery after
that. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. How does it affect? Does it like I must affect dating?
Or a
like,
lot,
like personal yeah. relationships.
It's like a fucking job interview. Like, when do you say?
Yeah.
Just by the way, I've got this friend with me.
Yeah. Right.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not really good at it. So when I was younger, like in high school, like I could hide it a little bit. You know, you just kind of like sugarcoat everything then. But I got really lucky because there was a guy we were like best friends, and he it just kind of like was that. And it wasn't really a question.
He knew what was going on.
We didn't date in high school, but we dated after high school. So it was just kind of like segued into it really easily. It wasn't even really a question. Then when I moved to Halifax, I started dating someone and I was like, you know what? There's no right answer. So he dropped me off after a date one day and I just like sat in his car and I was like, listen, this is what my everyday life looks like. There's going to be really good days. There's going to be really bad days. There's going to be days where like, I don't like you. I don't like anyone. Like, take her to leave it. Peaced out, got out of the car and left.
And you were also like, also I want 7 kids and will you marry me
and
tomorrow?
And will you marry me tomorrow? Yeah, like, essentially. Actually, no, at the time.
I was kind of with you for the first little bit, but then the
no,
kids thing
it was opposite. Thing. He was like, marry me tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So that worked out well.
Okay.
That worked out okay for like a little while.
So you guys are married?
Wait, hold on. That worked out for a little while. Wait, the way you said that was like, he dropped that bomb on you after you were like, I have EDS.
No.
And he was like, I want to marry you.
No.
He was like,
and then you were like,
let's see what happens. And then it went well for a little while. And then when he was really heartbroken,
changed his mind.
Like, yeah.
No, I actually, like looking back on it, I think that that's one part of my life that I've actually been pretty lucky because the people that I have wanted to like invest in have been really receptive.
And, yeah, right.
So, and not a lot of people get that.
I think that's a really, there's something that you sort of said in there that I think is really important to kind of pull out and examine for a second. But like the idea of, well, like when do you tell someone? Like when's the right time? And I think we've talked about this on the show a number of times. Or maybe it came up in the documentary, I don't know. But like there is
no
right time. Like the right time is the time that you make to make it happen.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like there is no right time or there's always a right time.
Or any time's the right time. Well, there's times where it's probably not the right time. But like,
I guess so.
There's never the right time. Like you just need to make
it. Mid-climax. Like, don't do
it. Oh, by
the way. I have EDS! Marry me!
Maybe that's the best
time.
Really
intense.
It could be the best time.
Yeah. They just connect it with this like feeling of elation and just so much. They're just like, yes, EDS is the best.
But I think to be more specific, like if it's ever causing you stress that you're not talking about it,
I feel like
that's
lying.
A good time to talk about
fucking time.
It. You know?
I do. Sometimes like even like I started university again in January and even like meeting friends, I feel like there's such a big part of me that I don't talk about a lot, which is silly because like, you know, people talk about their family and like who they're dating and school and all that stuff. And people have these like very specific subjects that they talk about with others. And I have this huge one and I'm like, well, is it going to be accepted? Or because for so long, people were like, oh, yeah, Milan's just like the sick girl. Like no one really knows what's wrong with her. So like whatever, we just won't ask anymore. So I'm like, I have all the answers now. So do I talk about it or do I not?
Well, I say you do.
Yeah.
Because it's like really
interesting. No, but I do.
Right. Well, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do.
But it's like, Jer, what you say all the time. It's like, don't let your illness define you unless you let it define you on your own terms.
Yeah, let it define you.
Right. So if you talk about it proactively, then you're taking the power away from that holding power against you.
Yeah.
It's also this amazing like card that you have in your pocket at all times to be like, hey,
by
conversation's getting a bit stale.
Yeah.
Listen to this fucking story. I'm on methadone.
Yeah. Oh my God. I bring that up.
I take methadone 3 times a day and people are gonna be like, Whoa.
Yeah,
what?
I love it.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had this issue. And you go, no, it's not the issue you think.
And I've got my like accessibility parking pass. So people are always driving
around. That's another
perfect
idea. You can literally just pull that out.
Yeah.
And go,
well, we like go downtown on like a Saturday night for dinner and we're like we're taking Milan's car. Like, Milan, go get
literally
your sign.
Just yeah.
That's an Agricola.
Right,
that's like, an actual card.
Yeah. That, yeah, literally.
You can it literally play that up. Card.
Yeah.
It's a great card to play.
Yeah.
It is a good thing to just like remember to keep in mind, because I feel like we have a lot of people that probably listen. And I know that we do, because we've had people that reach out and they kind of have that sort of question of like, how do I talk about it with my like family or my friends or whatever? You just fucking do.
I know. It's fucking interesting. I think maybe it plays into like how you approach it and how you talk about it. Like what your kind of like tone and approach to talking about it is, because I find it fascinating. I mean, obviously we find all this stuff really fascinating. Mm-hmm. We talk to people about this stuff all the time and we're just curious and interested about it. I feel like if someone approaches that topic or whatever they're dealing with in this kind of like, man, you know what? Like this. Yeah. How crazy is that?
Well, people bring it up to me. Like, because I live here now. So when I go home and I see family members, people like walk around the subject, or they ask and they're like, oh, how are you feeling today? And I'm like, what do you think I'm feeling? Like, I feel like shit all the time. Do you want me to answer that way? Like, no, that's a lie. I'm not a positive person, but I'm functional. I'm normal. I'm happy all the time. And I talk about it like it's just like a fact. Like, that's just what it is. And there are some days where, like everyone else, I get really irritable because of my pain, but everyone gets irritable. So on those days, just like, you know, leave me alone. Yeah. Like, there's a way to do it. And I don't ever talk about it like it's like a subject that's apart from me that I just want to like inform you about. Like, when you ask me how I am, like, I'm going to be honest, but I'm also not going to like bore you to death with like me not sleeping. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's just, something that I kind of like integrate into my conversation now.
One thing that I find so fascinating is that the human experience is so interesting, and everybody has a unique and different story. And the way I kind of look at my life is like, I have a bunch of different areas to my life. And if you understand those different areas about my life or of my life, then you can really get to know me. So like I like yoga. I grew up competing in canoeing. I lived in Dubai for a bit. And like, if you understand these parts of my story, then you really get to know me. And people who live with illness, especially illness that's a huge part of their life, like if you can understand that part of their story, then you can get to know them in like such a deep and meaningful way.
And probably
way.
Hard to know them without it.
Well, if I don't talk about it, then you don't know me.
Yeah. Because it's so encompassing in your life. Mm-hmm. And going back to the whole like, it doesn't define you, but you let it, you allow it to define you in the way that you want
that
it
I
to.
Want it to.
Like, it obviously plays a role in your life.
Well, now
it's not
that I'm
you.
Older, it took me a really long time to accept it, but I don't know who I am without it.
Right.
Like, my whole worldview, my perspective on everything is defined by what my experience is.
You would be 100% a completely different person without it, because the way that you relate to cooking food, to getting up in the morning, to going to work, to doing sports,
and
to
how
doing everything.
And how I see, like, healthy people and me, I see, like, it can be a good and a bad thing, because I can be very empathetic, but I can also be really harsh, because I see how people take things, like the simplest things, for granted so easily. So I can be quite judgmental, which I don't think is always a bad thing, but I do have to like reel myself back sometimes, because I forget that like healthy people can get sick too, or healthy people, like, you know, get lazy sometimes.
In the way that you see somebody taking something for granted, you're like, you motherfucker, you don't know how good
like
you got.
And like, sometimes I keep to myself. Sometimes I call my mom and I really have to vent for a while, because it just gets me, it makes me so mad.
Right.
But they don't know any different.
And it's all relative.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, I haven't experienced like that much hardship in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I will at some point. Someone said that to me the other day. I said that
you
same
got
thing,
lucky.
and they went, you will, and I went, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And until I do, relatively, things are hard for me.
Exactly, because you don't know any different. Nothing else has happened. What do you have to compare it to?
Exactly. Yeah. When the time comes where that like really hard thing, whatever that is, I don't know.
Do you want
to? Then everything will continue to be relatively hard for me until that thing happens, at which point the things that were hard for me won't be.
Do you want us to get you there? Like, do you want us to? Do you want me and Brian? Like, we can take that on.
Like, you want to take me there?
Yeah. Do you want us to like just give you that thing that like is going to be really hard to deal with?
Do you have something to like to lay
on
me?
I can like
waiting to tell
am
you.
I being fired from the podcast?
I was thinking like we burned down your apartment, which we could do that too.
Or I could like Jesus. I could like dislocate your hip or like your shoulder.
Oh, now my shoulder. Okay, that's fine. My hip, that makes me want to throw up.
The and hip if you burn down my apartment,
I'd be in really financial, like real financial ruin. Mm-hmm. Like that'd be really tough. Mm-hmm.
Just to circle back to that idea about talking about illness, though. Like, Jesus. Like that's the thing that kind of blows my mind, and the thing that I didn't know before we started this podcast was like, hey, like as a person who is quote unquote healthy, I mean, I have Oscar Schlatter disease, but
I'll never forget that.
But I do. Holy shit. It's, anyway, that's another story. But like
yeah, that's another episode, Brian.
As someone who's healthy, like I should want to talk about people's illnesses because I'm going to get to know who they are more. Yeah. And as somebody who has an illness, they should want to talk about that because people are going to get to know them better.
But it's far more often is like in the way that you put it. Whereas people are like, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah. It's like there's this sadness. And I mean, fuck. I mean, now we're just circling back to the fucking ethos of the reason that we do this show in the first place, which is that people are too sad about it all the time.
It should be normal.
Well, I think this is a good place to ask the question we try to ask most of our guests, which is, what would you say is the biggest thing that EDS has taken away from you in your life?
Ballet. Mm. I was born and I just wanted to dance. And that's always been like the thing. I'm like a faithful person. Like I go to church and I read the Bible. I don't really know like what?
I said amen.
Oh, thanks. I don't really know even know what that means, but okay.
He's amen.
But I'm still conflicted on the whole like why do bad things happen to good people type of thing. Mm. I don't like you know, it was just born this way. Like my dad, my group, like it's genetic.
Right.
But like I'm bored. I just want to dance and I haven't been able to find that like creative outlet yet. And like that might sound like really superficial, but like
no, I get it.
I've been able to like cultivate really good relationships. My relationships with my parents wouldn't be the same. Like I wouldn't appreciate them the way that I do without being this way. I mean, I've lost a lot of friends. Like, are they friends to begin with if they, like, leave, I guess. But relationships are hard, all that stuff. But, like, I'm pretty good on my own. Mm. So I just want to do what I want.
If you could do one thing, money doesn't matter. The amount of time it takes to get to perfect it or whatever doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
I always wanted to be the Sugar Plum Fairy in the Nutcracker. I would cut the bullshit out, like no pain for like September to December, go back to my old dance school and be the Sugar Plum Fairy. That's what I would do.
Oh, you mean in the, okay. I thought you wanted to actually be.
Be her? No.
Yeah. Okay. Now
no,
I get it.
I mean like in the show.
That makes way more sense.
Wait, do you think there's a real Sugar Plum Fairy out there?
Well, I mean.
I want to be Aladdin. In no performance. I just want to be Aladdin.
I did wrap the context of the question in basically that nothing matters. Yeah, so, I mean, right. I was want to be the Sugar Plum Fairy? That's
fucking
fine.
Like, I've gotten that question before. It's like, if you could do anything, what would you do? And, like, I'm still just a normal person. I just want, like, my normal things. And that's what I fell in love with when I was growing up. And that's what I would like to do. Mm. I still, like, I want a good job and I want a family and all that stuff.
I thought of that question earlier because when you were kind of going through, like, all the stuff that causes you pain, I was imagining that, you know, this kind of takes some shit off the table. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot
like,
off the table.
So not taking into consideration, like, what you deal with, time, money, and all that shit, like, dance seems to be, like, a pretty
like, I would love to travel, but I get on an airplane and I throw up before and after with the pressure and the migraine.
Oh,
so,
God.
You know, if I want to, like, let's say I want to go on, like, a 10-day trip to Europe, like, that 10-day trip would have to be, like, 3 weeks just for, like, recovery period, you know, and, like, all of that stuff. But
I wonder how you'd fare in a submarine.
Probably
I don't know.
The inverse of the plane because they're basically the
Does anyone like react well in a submarine though?
Yeah. I wonder probably how you'd fare in a space shuttle.
I don't know many people that fuck with submarines. I know one, but and he hasn't really told me.
I don't
much,
know. Hook me up and I'll let you know.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest thing that your EDS has given you?
Like my worldview. Mm-hmm. I think that I have like a really I have people tell me that I have a face, and like everyone can contest to that. I know everyone's life story. Like people see me and they're like, just like they just come to me and they just like tell me their life story. Oh. And
are you an empath?
I mean, I didn't think so. I thought I was too judgmental to be an empath, but I must be because I'm obsessed with people's stories and like what, like I think that because I've dealt with like a lot of hardship, but I'm also like an emotionally, like I have like, everyone has like mental health issues at some point in their life. My anxiety, however, is like solely based on myself. So I can relate to people really easily. Mm-hmm. And I just, that's what, I'm really good with connecting with people. Mm. I don't know, I'm in public relations. I don't know where that's going to lead me yet, but I'm just like really good at getting people to tell me all of their stories. And I'm really good at getting people to do what I want. And I think it's because I relate to people so easily.
Or are you just very manipulative?
Manipulative, maybe. I've like harnessed that craft too.
Yeah, so this is actually why we brought you in. And this is not an episode of Sick Boy.
I forced it.
This is an episode of Intervention.
Yeah. Your family's in the next room.
Season 3. We'll bring him on in, guys.
Yeah, yeah. But no,
well, that's a nice thing. I think that's a nice thing to gain from...
Yeah.
From
like,
you know,
I said to my physiotherapist the other day, and she kind of like laughed and rolled her eyes at me, but I was like, I'm terrified of the day where I wake up and I don't feel sick because I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. Like when I have
maybe
really
like
good
an
days,
old person who retired,
like and bored,
and they're like,
but you'd still be you because you'd still have all the past experience that would inform the like person
I'm,
that you are.
Yeah, right? But I feel like I wouldn't know what to do with that kind of that amount of freedom.
Usually they go to Florida.
Florida.
Oh, wait, we're talking about you. Sorry.
We're talking about me again.
We're talking about
it actually
people.
Very much, here. It actually is wildly similar to that.
I know. Yeah, I know.
To somebody retiring and being like, I've got all this time now.
You just get this crazy craving to buy an RV.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. Let's get a timeshare.
Timeshare. My parents have a timeshare.
Right, of course they do.
Funny. Fuck.
I think my parents do too.
Well, I gotta say, Milan, this was a.
Wrong.
Oh, sorry. Milan.
Still wrong.
Milan.
Oh, there we go. Need some work, but it's okay.
Milan. this was a really, really great conversation. I'm glad we had the opportunity to meet briefly at a very loud rap show.
Where I cried. My eyelashes almost fell
to Jeremy
like, fell
or
off.
At the
she
show?
Cried at the show. She was just crying because of rap.
No. He hugged me and I lost my shit. I bawled.
Because it hurt?
No. No.
She's
no.
Like, I didn't take my path at
No, all. However, that is a really good point though, because when I was younger, I'm like a little bit better now, but certain people can't hug me or touch me. Mm. And I
certain people
because they squeeze too hard?
No, it just no, like my body knows when someone's really shitty. Like if I like
you
can't
are an
trust
empath.
Them.
Yeah, you definitely
yeah, well, I guess so. I will like I can physically feel my body like reject them.
Interesting.
So
their auras.
Well,
or?
Just so we're clear, I'm pretty sure you initiated the hug.
I initiated
you put your arms
that one,
out, and I went, "This means hug."
Yeah,
and then I hugged you.
Yeah, no, I
good
when
pick
I
up on
when
that,
I
Jeremy.
Found this podcast, it was like the most refreshing thing I had ever heard because I was going through moving. Like a huge flare up, like a huge change. And I didn't know anyone here, so I couldn't relate to it. Like, I couldn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it. I just found it. And then I saw his stupid face, and I was like, I'm going to fucking lose my shit.
It is a stupid face.
It was pretty fun.
But,
it was pretty funny. I was also, like, really drunk.
So you were so drunk, dude. I was with you right before you went.
I know.
And you were hammered.
I was silly. Yeah. And then when you started crying, I was like, I think I started laughing. Yeah. I was like, oh,
you
my
did laugh.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was.
I'm not a lunatic. Got really.
I sense people too, and if I sense that you were a lunatic, I definitely wouldn't have said, "Come on the
come
show on.
On
Tuesday."
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm glad you were in a loud environment because if you were in like a semi, like even just like a regular tame, like Saturday environment or like a quiet environment, you would have been like, "Oh my god, this guy."
Are you talking about me,
dude? We were
dude,
at,
you know why?
Dude, we were at
you
Colin's
know why?
Party, and like.
I'll tell you why.
Holy
it's
fuck.
Because so it's I don't ever.
This
I don't
was
ever,
Saturday night.
This is at the Darcy's Christmas party.
I don't ever take THC, and
that's right.
Now you can get it, and they have options for people like myself who can't smoke. So I got some oils, and that night I was like, oh, I'm gonna like test this out before I have a few drinks.
Had you never tried the oils before?
No, not really, no.
He was already drunk before we went into the liquor store to buy.
Already drunk in there, took a bunch of sativa, and then...
drank more.
It just ended up being a whole night. It was. It was a night. I had a fantastic time, but I also was on. I was living my best life.
Yeah. You were just doing you.
I was just doing me, and I loved every minute of it. Anyway, all that to say, I'm glad we met.
Thanks,
I'm glad you came in and shared this. And yeah, thanks for coming in, being on the show.
Thanks.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week, as we always are, with another fantastic conversation. But in the meantime, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review and hit the subscribe button, because all of those things just make us so happy. And it is also the Christmas holidays just happened. And, this is your late Christmas gift to us. Just go
to patreon.com.
And my birthday's coming up, so do this for my birthday.
Birthday, Christmas, like you could basically wrap it all into one. And if you want to give us some support, you can go to patreon.com/sickboy. Super helpful, super, super happy when we get it. So we love you and Merry Christmas.
And we're in the middle of revamping our Patreon too.
Big stuff. Coming.
You can go on to Patreon right now just for Christmas and Jeremy's birthday and give a one-time recurring monthly donation.
Just a one-time recurring, yeah. It's just you have to set it up once.
Set it up once
to recur.
Just pay one time. Recurring.
Well, you're looking for that changes everything plan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And also thanks to Donovan for the amazing soundscapes that he inserted throughout this episode.
It was like random like rainforest.
Don't do that, Donovan.
We'll do it at least right now. Doesn't it sound so tropical in here?
Wow, yeah,
really it's does, so
yeah.
beautiful. Yeah.
Sounds, did you hear sounds that? Like retirement.
Is that a hold on. Shh, shh. Is that a didgeridoo? Did I hear?
Whoa, weird.
Okay.
Okay. This is getting very tribal. Yeah. Oh, my God. Whoa, what was that?
Okay, fucking moving on. Jesus Christ.
And thanks to Take Part for the theme music. Take part in this.bandcamp.com if you want to hear more of the music.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
Milan.
Nailed it. Nailed your name.
It's Milan.
I love that you just said. No. Milan. So your name is Len.
Yeah.
Right. No, you fucked it up this whole time. Yeah, this is it.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.